Let us all say amen. I don't know about you. That song there, I can sing for a little longer. Because somewhere down the line, as God's believers, we believe what we say, we follow what we teach, and we have a confidence and the reassurance that this is going to transpire in the day that we leave this time side of life. And so I reflect upon that song to let me know that one day, no more pain, no more sorrow. God has promised me if I remain steadfast and unmovable in my Christian walk, that death itself doesn't have a victory over me. That's what drives me. That's what motivates me. As this year draws to a close, I don't know about you, inventory is becoming very prominent in my everyday life. Inventory to the point to where I look at and ask myself, did I really do what God required of me? And if the answer is no, amen. Don't y'all look at me funny, because the answer is no. Amen. Just because I preach the gospel, just because I teach the gospel, doesn't mean I always live up to what the gospel requires. So I'm willing to repent of my sin. I'm willing to get on the right track, and I need you to help me to stay on the right track. This might be my last sermon that I might ever preach. I don't know. I don't know. Job said a man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He come forth like a flower, and he fadeth away. This might be my last sermon, so buckle your seatbelt. Because if it's my last sermon, I need to tell each and every one of us what God requires of us. He requires obedience. He requires a humble spirit. And he requires the believer to really understand why he or she has been saved. You haven't been saved because you look so good, even though y'all look pretty good out there to me right now. Smile, everybody. Y'all supposed to smile when I say stuff like that. Come on, y'all work with me this morning. Church, because it's important to understand that as this year draws to a close, there are some things that you and I need to have confidence and reassurance of. I know one day I'm going to leave here, and I'm not so concerned about when I leave here. I just want to make sure that when I leave here the right way. That's right. And so if I leave here the right way, then that means I got to live my life on this time side of life the right way. Amen. And so it's my job, it's my responsibility as a child of God. You notice I didn't say preacher. That's right. As a child of God, to be the example to everyone that we come in contact with. If you missed this morning's Bible class, you missed a real good class. Amen, walls. And want to encourage you to come out as we go through 2019, if God says the same, of seeking and saving the lost. In Revelations chapter 22, and round about verse number 7, these are words that I hang my hat on, because in the final analysis, when I stand before God, I wish you could be a witness for me. Maybe not all of you. I'm just messing. Yeah, come on, y'all, work with me this morning, church, because it's important as this year draws to a close that each and every one of us examine ourselves, what we have been doing for God. And if you haven't been doing what God requires of you, repent. Just that simple. I guess we're probably like when the prophet told David to go out, was it David, and dip in the Jordan. Was it David? Y'all help me out, y'all. Y'all, some of you scholars know this. It wasn't David. Okay. Who? Okay, I'm glad somebody knows something about the Bible. He told him to go dip in the Jordan. How many times? And was he upset? Why was he upset? Because the Jordan was a dirty river. But if he'd have told him to go do something simple, he would have done it. God tells us that when we fall short of the glory of God, to what? Repent. Is that simple? Then why don't we do it? Okay, that's all right. But in this text here, in Revelation chapter 22, is the confidence that I get as I walk this Christian life, to know that one day I'm going to leave here, but I have the confidence and the reassurance from God himself, and that's what I like. I got some guarantees, but you know, some of them expires. I got a guarantee on that car out there, but you know, That guarantee ain't no good when the warranty runs out. But I got a guarantee and a warranty that if I stay focused on this time side of life and do the will of the Father and repent of my sins, I got a guarantee that God said he'll let me enter into the gates. Look at what he says, Revelations chapter 22. And look at what John, as he's in exile on the island of Patmos, write to the seven churches in the Asia Minor. Revelations chapter 22 and verse number 7, he says, "Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keeps the sayings of the prophecy of this book." And so John, as he writes to the seven churches here, he reminds the believers, stay steadfast in doing what God says, and God has promised you something. If you drop down to around about verse number 12 in that same text, he says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and enter in through the gate into the city." Boy, if that don't make you shout, I can't help you. If that don't motivate you, I can't help you. If you don't understand who you are on this time side of life, I can't help you. Because this stuff here gives me the confidence and the reassurance to know that God has promised me eternal salvation if I just do what he says. Boy, isn't that how we treat our kids? Come on, y'all. You do as I say and I'll reward you. Boy, some of y'all understand. Rest of y'all gone on back. In this text that we've been looking at in Philippians chapter 4, very powerful text, and it's just so much in here that I could spend the next year just on this text alone, just taking one of these little whatsoever and just focusing in on that little one. And today we're going to deal with this one right here. Whatsoever things are just. And I want to show you that as God's people, that should be the first and foremost thing in our everyday life. My life depends on my justness to God. But see, that requires a relationship. And you know, and we understand relationships, do we? Well, I guess if we did, we wouldn't have half the problems we have, huh? But see, if you missed this morning's Bible class, relationship first and foremost has to be with God. Could you imagine that you walk out on God? Didn't Paul say something about you played the harlot with God? Oh, y'all quiet. I might be my last one, but I got to give you what I prepared. Because, church, we need to understand, if we're going to go into 2019, we have to take an inventory of where we came from and then correct some of the things that we have not done. And, you know, and only you can do it. I can preach till I'm blue in the face, and that's going to be hard to do. But somewhere, come on, y'all, work with me this morning. It's okay. You know, I think that's the problem in our relationship with God. Sometimes we act like we can't smile. You know, it ain't going to crack your face to bust a smile every now and then. You know, you do it everywhere else. You telling me we can't be happy in the house of God? We can't be motivated in the house of God? You know, when I think about how Israel served God, everything that had breath, praise the Lord. Amen. And God said, if you hold your peace, I'll make the rocks praise. So does God really need us? No, we need God. So in this lesson text this morning, I want to show us with the title, "It Is Time." That's right. It's time to forget about what we didn't do, and it's time to focus on what we need to do. And I want to encourage you and remind you that as this year draws to a close, don't say I'm going to start this in 2019. No, start it today. Amen. Because I'm learning, why put off, you know the saying. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good rapport, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Paul here writes these words to encourage the believer and to remind the believer that there are certain things we ought to think of every single day in our lives. Not the things that we worry about whether or not we're going to make ends meet. That's not what he tells us to think on. Not whether or not our relationship's going to work out. No, if we think on the right things, God has promised he'll take care of everything else. And I'm learning is how you think determines where you're going to go in your everyday life. You know that saying, your attitude determines your altitude? Oh, yeah. And I'm learning that when you are miserable, guess where you're going? You sure ain't going to go up. Come on, y'all, work with me this morning. And 1 Peter chapter 2, and round about verse 5. Listen to these words of what Peter says to the believer. Peter reminds God's people that there are certain things that we need to think about and think on in our everyday life. And I'm learning the more we think about these things, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 5. Peter says, and besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Verse number 10, Peter says, wherefore the rather, brother, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Boy, what a promise that Peter says that if we stay on track, you shouldn't have to worry about anything else. And I'm learning the only way you're going to stay on track is you got to keep your mind in this book. And then you got to keep the application of the book in your everyday life. And the more you study, the more you meditate, and the more you apply. Amen. Jesus said, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? What did he command us to do? He said to go out into all the world and make disciples of every creature. He that believeth and is baptized will be saved, but he that believeth not shall not. Jesus doesn't ask much of us, do he not? But we sure want a lot from him, don't we? Huh? Don't we? When I'm sick, I want you to bring me back to a normal portion of health. When I'm hurting financially, I want you to make a... am I down anyone's street if I'm that? Yeah. But he asked us to assemble ourselves, and we have a hard time doing that, don't we? Y'all quiet. He asked us to go out and make the difference in the world in which we live in. And I'm learning that it starts in your own household. And the more you make the difference in your household, guess what? You can get your neighbors, you can get your friends, and you can get everyone else. In this text here, Paul reminds the believer that if we think on these things, he says that Peter says that an entrance shall be ministered unto us abundantly. Verse number 9 of Philippians chapter 4 says, those things which you have both learned, received, and heard, and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. It is time, church, as this year draws to a close, as 2018 closes its eyes and 2019 dawn upon us. The question is, as we reflect upon the past, do we see a brighter future? Because this year has been a bright year. And only you know whether or not it's been a bright one or a dim one. I want to encourage us that if we haven't done what God requires of us this year, just repent. That's one thing I like about God. He will forgive you when I won't. I'll say that again. He will forgive you when I won't, because he's a God of mercy. And I'm learning, church, that when we do things God's way, we don't have to worry about anything else. So I want to encourage you that as this year closes and as 2019 dawns upon us, take a look at your Christian walk. Take a look at whether or not you've been living up to what God requires of you. If you haven't, repent and get on the right track. Paul in this lesson text tells the believer and reminds the believer to stay on track in your Christian walk. And in order to do that, there are some things you have to think about. You have to think about being honest. You have to think about things that are just. All of these things are something that you and I must think about every single day of our lives. And I'm learning the more we think about it, the more we put it into practice, the more we're able to do what God says. In Deuteronomy chapter 16 and round about verse number 20, Moses, as he stands before God's people, reminds God's people, whatsoever things are just, that's what you need to follow. You go back and you read this, because Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says the things that are written aforehand are written for our learning. God required Moses to remind his people to follow what is right, to do what's right, to follow what's just. And in doing that, the God of heaven will take care of everything else. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse number 20, the Bible says, that which is altogether just shall thy follow, that shall... Thank you, brother, that thou might liveth and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Very powerful text to help us to see that when we stay on track and do what God says, God takes care of everything else. Anybody here got some problems? Huh? Who do you take them to? You know, it's easy to take something to God, but have you left it there? See, we think we can help him out, don't we? Anybody here try to help out God? Go on, raise your hand, because I know you do. No, I'm learning that when we face trials and tribulations, we have to leave things with God, and he's going to work it out in his own time frame. But see, we're a people of instance. Yeah, we want it done right away. Well, God don't work like you. He works it out according to his own will. In this text here, Paul would remind the believer, the things that you've seen in me, the things that you've heard from me, these are the things that we need to do. And so I challenge you, as this year draws to a close, let's make our light more brighter than what it's ever been. Amen. Let's let the world in Apple Valley, see, and our world is right here. Or if you live in Hesperia, guess where your world is? It's in Hesperia. Wherever you live, your world is, that's your world. And we need to let the world know that our light shines brighter because Jesus shined within us. And so if the challenge is to each and every one of us to look at and take inventory of ourselves and remind ourselves of who we are and show the world that there's a better way, and that way is in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we close this year out, I want to remind us of a couple things and remind you of who you really are. I'm looking forward to 2019. Because we're going to be looking at a text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20, where Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. And I'm looking forward to next year, and I hope you are, because I want to show us that as ambassadors of Christ, you can't do your thing and be an ambassador. Amen, Walls. I want to show you that as an ambassador of Christ, you have surrendered all of your will to follow what the Master says. Otherwise, you're fired. Some of y'all got that. The rest of y'all gone on back. But I want to show us that as God's people, we need to really understand who we are. And then we need to live our lives as who we are. 1 Peter chapter 2 and round about verse number 9. Peter says, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. You know what that tells me right there? If anybody got a testimony, it ought to be us. If anybody got any bragging rights of coming out of sin, y'all don't hear me this morning, it ought to be us. So how am I going to bring someone out of darkness into the light? I need to show them that I used to be in the darkness. But because God separated me, who separated me from my mother's womb and allowed me to be part of the body of Christ because of my obedience, I'm no longer an alien sinner. I'm a sinner saved by the grace of God. And that's what drives me. And I'm learning that when you can be real with people, people will be real with you. And I'm learning, church, that means each and every one of us have to understand who we are. We're chosen. We're supposed to be different than the world. We're not supposed to act like the world, but do we? Y'all quiet. This is my last year. Do we really love one another the way we're supposed to? Do we really take the time with one another? Yeah, y'all quiet. He's on his soap opera. That's right. That's right. I'm on the box this morning. You know why? Because he holds me accountable. And if he's going to hold me accountable, well, guess what I'm going to do to you? I'm going to make sure that you know exactly what God requires. I don't want to go into 2019 slipping in the darkness. I don't want to go into 2019 with the same old mentality that I had in 18. And you're probably saying, well, preacher, what attitude did you have? Same one you got. Hey, man, I come when I feel. Well, I don't do that. Do I? I don't come when I feel like it. I don't. Never mind. Let me go back up here. I'm trying to make this thing real, church, because as this year draws to a close, God is looking. He's asking each and every one of us a question. When I was hungry, did you feed me? When I was naked, did you clothe me? Shut in and in prison, did you visit me? Well, Lord, when did we see you in that condition? He says, when you've done it to the least of my disciples, you've done it unto me. Church, I want to remind us that we have been chosen for a reason. The reason we've been chosen is to reconcile this old lost world back to him. But see, first of all, we got to understand who we are. We got to understand that the body of Christ here in Apple Valley has been tasked a mission. That mission is the lost. That means every man, woman, boy, girl that professes the name of Jesus Christ got to step up to the plate. Every single one of us. Well, I don't know much. That's your excuse? Okay, we're going to help you to learn much. Amen. No excuses. Because in the day of judgment, guess what? He's not going to accept it. Well, I'm not really well. I'm a little sickly. Okay. When I read in the Bible, men working from their sick bed to glorify God. Are we like the man that sat by the pool for 38 years? I don't want to be that way. Church, I want to remind us of some things. We're the chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into a marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. And if God gave us grace and mercy, what should we be doing to the folks we come in contact with? No, do we give them that? Boy, you shoot my cat, I'm going to stab your dog. You're no good and well. Come on now, work with me. I'm trying to get us to see that as God's people, we make the difference. Say that with me. We make the difference. Oh, some of y'all are not saying it. We make the difference. And if we don't make the difference, is God really in us? God took two men, turned the world upside down. They were beaten. They were persecuted. They were put in prison. And you know what their mindset was? Praise God that we were able to suffer. Is that us? We were able to suffer for the cause of Christ. Church, we're a royal priesthood. And you need to understand, God has placed us in the body of Christ as it pleased him. So you're here this morning not because you think you deserve to be here. I'm up here preaching not because I deserve to preach. I'm here because he's placed me here. And you're here in the church not because you are so good and you think you're so perfect. No, you're here because God has placed you where he wants you. Now, the question is, are you living up to what he's placed you in? He's placed you in the body of Christ. Well, what purpose? Some are teachers. Oh, y'all looking at me funny. I got some Bible. Look at what he says. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 real quickly. First of all, Paul says to the believer, walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, and you take Ephesians chapter 4 and you drop down to around about verse number 14, verse 11. Look at what Paul says to the believer. He reminds the believer, and he has given some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor teacher, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children. And you know, and a lot of people think that children are tossed to and fro. How many of us are children? Oh, you don't have to admit it. That when you have a struggle of coming here, you're a child. When you have a struggle of seeking and saving the law, you're still a child. When you have a struggle with not being able to forgive, forget, and move forward, you're still a child. Paul says that we should not be like that no more, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Paul says this is how we ought to be. Verse 15, but speak the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted about, that every, and I ain't smart, but what does every mean? Just the preacher? Just the elders? If you've been sitting in the infield, it's time for you to step up to the plate. Oh, yeah, you understand that. Oh, you understand that if you're in the infield, you just, they going that way, they going that way. Ain't nothing came to you, but I'm ready. Are you really? You're seeing it going all around you, and you just, No, it's time for us to come out of the infield. Amen. And step up to the plate. He says in verse number 16, from whom the whole body fitly formed, fitly joined together and compacted about, that every joint supplieth, according to the effectual work and the measure of every part, may increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. See, God placed you in the body for a reason. He placed you in the body of Christ as it pleased him. That's why I have no choice but to stand firm in the word of God. That's why when the first day of the week come around, I don't have no choice. I gave that up when I went in the water. When it's time to seek and save the law, I gave that up when I went in the water. When it's time or the call goes out that Jesus needs to be taught or something needs to be done, here am I. Here am I. You ain't been saying that? You need to understand something. You ain't in the body because you deserve to be in here. Amen, Walls. You're in the body because God saw fit to save you. You're looking at me funny. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and round about verse number 18. The Bible says, but have God set the members, each one of them, in the body as it pleased him. So who told you you can do whatever you want to do in the body? That's why I have no choice but to preach the gospel. Because he placed me here. And guess what? He's placed every single one of us in the body of Christ for a reason. Can all be teachers? No. Can everybody edify somebody? Yeah. Can everybody sing? Yeah. Do everybody? Let me go on. That don't mean you have to sing like a bird. But everybody can offer praise to God. In our lesson text here, Paul says, think on these things. And I want to encourage us and remind us of who we are. We're a chosen generation. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're God's special people to show the world that there's a better way. And that way is in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul says, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, Paul says, these are the things that we need to think of. And I want to encourage us as this year draws to a close. There are some things we need to think about. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse number 20, Moses reminds God's people, whatever things are just, That's what we need to follow. Whatsoever things are just. Have you ever thought about whatsoever things are just? Well, once again, I got a little acronym here. I put the word just up there, which means to me, Jesus requires something. What does he require? Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. Jesus said, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus requires each and every one of us to come out of the backfield and step up to the plate. That's right. And even the ones in the backfield, y'all correct me if I'm wrong, the people in the backfield, don't they step up? Come on, y'all. Don't they step up to the plate? And if they haven't been practicing how to hit, some of y'all understand what I'm talking about. So as you've been in the backfield, have you been studying your Bible? Have you been preparing yourself to teach? 2019's coming up. I seen the board back there. We need some preschool teachers. We need some high school teachers. And we need some men to step up and preach up in this pulpit. Oh, Lord have mercy. This might be my last one, I told you. You've been in the infield. What have you been doing? You've been sitting there watching the balls go by? Or have you been preparing yourself that when your time step up to the plate, you can hit a home run to bring the team on home? I want to encourage us. Jesus requires something. And I'm learning that you'll never do nothing for the Lord until you get you out your way. Amen. I never could imagine of preaching the gospel of Christ. Matter of fact, when I obeyed the gospel, I ran from the preacher. He had one word. He had a couple words. He always said, give an account of yourself. Well, who are you? Who are you? Give an account of myself to you. What you've been studying? What you've been doing? And after a while, I got tired of running. And I got a call one day from a preacher in Barstow. And he said, brother, I need you to come. I don't know how to speak. Who that sound like to you? If you know your Bible, that's Moses. I don't know what to do. I answered the call. August will be 30 years. That's hard to imagine. And since I've answered the call, I came out of the backfield. I'm hitting home runs. Home runs may not be good to you, but guess what? I'm not working for you. I'm laying up. You've heard that passage of scripture, lay not up for yourself treasure. Have you heard that? I'm laying up treasures in heaven. I'm trying to hit a home run every time I get up here and preach the gospel. If one person looks at themselves and say, I need to make a change, you don't have to say it to me, and makes the change, that's a home run. Amen. If I can get up here and look at me and say, you know, Stan, you ain't been doing that, and you make the change, that's a home run to me. I want to encourage us. Jesus is looking for individuals, but he requires something. He requires us to surrender our will. And when he requires us to surrender our will, guess what he requires of the body? He requires the body to be unified. How can you be missing in action, and I'm here all the time, and we call ourselves unified? Uh-oh, y'all quiet. How can you be? I can be motivated, and you sit there like a bump on the log, and we call. Maybe not y'all. He requires unity of the body of Christ. He requires the body of Christ to have one mindset. Think about what's really important. What's really important on this time side of life? I know it's 12 o'clock. Y'all's belly starting to growl. I can hear some of them up here. All we think about is it's time to eat, Stan. You need to cut this thing short so we can go on. Amen, Walls. But see, he requires the body of Christ to be unified. If I'm hungry and thirsty for the word, guess what? You ought to be hungry and thirsty for the word. Amen. Oh, you don't believe that? John chapter 17 and verse number 21. Powerful passage of scripture. Because see, when you understand that we're connected to the Lord, we're connected to the God, and what connects us is the Holy Spirit in which he's given us, then we'll understand something about who we are. We are God's chosen people, and there's a purpose for us being chosen. Look at what Jesus says in John chapter 17 and round about verse number 20. Powerful passage of scripture, because this is what helps me to stay on the right track. Jesus says in verse number 21, interesting words. And I want you to really listen to what he says. Jesus here has been brought into question about who he is and what he said. But look at what he says in verse 21. He says that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So if I'm motivated and enthused, guess what? You ought to have a little bit. Oh, yeah. I tell you right now, we go into a game. You ain't got to pay for nothing. Transportation is provided. All your food is provided. Boy, you get excited then. I'll even pick you up at the house. Yeah, see there? That's what I'm talking about. And boy, we're ready. Why can't we be like that on the first day of the week? We've come to assemble around this table. The world just got through recognizing that he is the Christ, the Son of a living God. Today we're going to recognize something even more important than his birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection. That resurrection is what resurrects you and I. That's why, church, we ought not to walk around as if we have no hope. That's why as children of God, we ought to be the most excited folk. Why? Because every first day of the week, we sit down with not just a king, but the king. Amen. Amen. How many folks can sit in the presence of the king? I can. That's what motivates me. You can. You can too. And as I sit before the king, it reminds me of what the king done for me. He suffered, he bled, he died on a cross just because he said he was the Son of God. Man. And how many times we deny the very existence of him in our everyday life? We sit at this table, and this table humbles me and reminds me that when death knocks on Stan's door, ain't no sting, ain't no pain. I know what my Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 51. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but be changed in the moment, in the twink of the eye. For the corruptible must put on incorruptible. The mortal must put on immortality. So then death is swallowed up. Death, where's your victory? Grave has no sting. Why? Because in Christ Jesus, he died once and all to take away the sting of death. That's why the believer, when it's time to leave here, he can leave here in peace. But see, this is something I'm telling you that you got to practice. This don't come overnight. What I'm telling you don't come overnight. But it comes when an individual believes what God said. The body of Christ has to be united. And when the body is united the way God requires the body to be united, guess what? You're willing to serve him. And you serve him. Not on what you think, but you serve him according to what is written. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. A servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach patience and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. You need to understand something. When he says those that oppose themselves, he's not talking about people in the world. No, he's talking about you and I. The text is written to the body of Christ. And so he says, those that oppose themselves. Can you be in this thing and oppose yourself? Yes. Yeah. I'm learning something. I'm learning that when you don't do things God's way, guess what? You oppose yourself and don't even know it. You ever wrestled and fought with yourself? Yeah. You might not want to admit it because that might sound like you're half crazy, but that's okay. That's okay. But yeah, we oppose ourselves. And Paul says, a servant of God has a different type of spirit, has a different type of motivation. He understands meekness. He understands long-suffering. He understands forgiveness. He understands that the biggest problem is not the problem out there. Hello. But it's the problem in here. those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will grant them knowledge of the truth, and they may escape the snares of the devil who have taken them captive at his will. You need to look at what that text says. That text says that some of us have been taken captive by the devil himself, and you're sitting up in the house of God. Ooh, that's some scary stuff. Can that happen in the pulpit? Yes. All I had to do is let this head get bigger than what's written. Amen. And I can be taken captive by Satan, and I can be preaching to you. And if you're not in your book, if you're not studying to show yourself approved, if you don't understand what I'm saying and you just let me go on day by day, guess what? He's taking you captive as well. I'm learning, church, that Satan's biggest job, it ain't out there. It's right in here. I know some of us have already shut down because it's after 12 o'clock. Some of us are already, before you walk through the door, put God on the back burner because you're allowed the trials and tribulations of life. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. What does that mean? That means I can enjoy life down here as well as up there because I know down here nothing or no one can stop me or hinder me but myself. Can't nobody make me do nothing. Lock me up, chain me up. You can't make me do nothing unless you put it up here. And I'm a firm believer. I only let who I want up here. If I don't want you up there, guess what? You can't get up there. That's a mindset. That's an attitude that the believer has. We serve him as God's people, and we serve him with joy, with happiness, with reverence. You ain't been serving him that way? Look at the past year. That's right. It's time for every one of us to look at what we've been doing. Do you serve God the way you serve maybe your spouse? Your friend? How many of y'all love one another? You love your mom, your dad, and you're willing to lay down your life for them, are you not? Well, don't leave that alone over there. But church, I'm talking about a mindset. And so if we really love God, what are we willing to lay down for him? Are we really willing to lay down our lives to make the difference in our everyday life? And I'm learning that when you understand what's required of you, you understand that in the body of Christ, God expects you to do things. Serve him the way he requires you to serve him. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, we know what that says, right? Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth. The way we serve him is depends on how you understand your relationship. And first and last but not least, you learn, you understand the truth. See, when I serve God, I understand what the truth is. John chapter 4 and verse number 24, God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him how? Spirit and in truth. What does that mean? You can come when you feel like it. You can do whatever you like and you're still worshiping God? No. No, it requires something. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Jesus said to those Jews of his day, he said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. I've never seen so many people in bondage in all the days of my life. It ought not to be us. Amen. It ought not to be us. But who are the ones that are shackled and chained and because of the cares of the world? You might as well turn and look at your neighbor and say, it is us. Amen. Because if it was not us, what would we be doing? We'd be turning down walls and building up new walls. But I believe we have lost sight. And so I just stopped by this morning to remind us, 18 is going to be history. And if he lets us see 2019, because there is no guarantee. There's no guarantee that I won't be here I'll be here in 2019. But if I ain't here, coronations and don't preach long. Go on about your business because I'm gone on to glory. How do you get to that point? You got to understand who you are. You got to understand what you have obeyed. You know, this is not a social club. This is not a country club. And I know some country clubs, if you don't pay your dues, you don't pay your dues, you're no longer in the club. Oh, you see, we understand all of that. You're in a club that requires you. And if you don't pay your dues to God, he's going to say, depart. Not that I don't know you. I never knew you. Conclusion, 2018 is going to be in the history books in a couple days. 2019, everyone has made all of these things of what they're planning on doing. But I want to encourage us and remind us, keep doing for the Lord what you're supposed to do. Don't wait till 2019 to get it right. Get it right today. Because tomorrow is not promised to none of us. I want to encourage each and every one of us as believers. Examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith and prove it to yourself. Paul says, after I preach to others, I myself might be a castaway or disqualified. If you're here this morning, members of the body of Christ want to encourage you to really look at who you are. If you need to repent, stand up and say, forgive me, help me to be a better child. And I want to encourage us all to stop and think about why we are part of the body of Christ. God has blessed each and every one of us immensely. Amen. No matter what state you're in, no matter where you're at, God has blessed us immensely. And all he asked us to do is love one another, love our neighbor as ourselves. If you're here this morning and you stand in need, let it be known as together we stand and sing.